Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be. My name is Sharice Alexander, your host of Your Collective. On today's episode, I'll be joined by my friend Haley Sutherland, the host and creator of Your Body, Your Story. And what we're talking about and examining is some of the ways that we can navigate the perhaps negative experiences and stories that shape our experience as it pertains to loving ourselves, and how do we shift that and move into a place and space of authenticity and loving ourselves thoroughly. So without further delay, let's dive in. Thank you so much, Haley, for joining me here today on Your Collective. It is such a pleasure and an honor to actually have you join us. Why don't we start off by you telling me a little bit about who you are, what you do, and of course, a little bit about your podcast and how it came to be.
So I mean, I'm born and raised in Alberta, small town girl. Never fit in to a small town. I always had dreams and a mindset and ideas bigger than what was around me, and not to, like, I guess, be egotistical about it, but I just never felt like I fit in the space that I was in. Always dreamed of, like, moving to the city. I always wanted to be in film. I wanted to act. I wanted to do makeup and hair and all those things. So out of school, I became a hairstylist and worked in some salons, got involved in the film industry in Alberta, mostly in Edmonton. And then decided that salons wasn't really a place for me. I didn't really want to work for somebody when I had all these amazing ideas. So I went off on my own, started a mobile hair business. And then I actually joined the military for a short period of time too. And then I met my partner and I moved and decided, let's start over. Let's stop everything I've always been doing and let's just see where this path takes me. And so I moved, and now I run a hot tub company with my partner, but I'm also building my own, I guess, like, personal brand or personal, like, self of, you know, business. I started taking some, like, yoga training, such as one called Goddess Yoga, which is brand new into Canada. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in that range. And I took Reiki training, and I'm taking a meditation course right now. I want to do breath work. I want to go more into this kind of spiritual, what some people might call woo-woo side. But that has always been me, which is why I didn't fit into the small town. But that's kind of where I want to go to, is just to help heal myself, people, maybe steer people in a direction or help guide people to their own healing. And that's kind of where I'm at now, which is also where I kind of started my podcast. Was I was in school. Originally, I wanted to go to school for women's health, and found, because I moved to Red Deer, and found that the school here, the Red Deer Polytechnic, does not offer a women's health course. And so I just kind of, like, searched through their options of, like, what do you have? What can I take? If there's anything, and if not, then that's fine. And then I saw one that was, like, gender and sexuality, and was kind of reading the classes I could take. And that felt right for some reason. So I went to school for a specialization in gender and sexuality, more of an open studies. It was a diploma program. And found that it was changing my mindset around some of the ways I was approaching gender and sexuality, and especially the way that I was, I guess, the beliefs I had or the narratives I had about the LGBTQ community. And so with lots of open conversation with people and being curious and also open to change my beliefs and hear someone else's story, it kind of spurred the idea that I want to share more of people's stories, because I'd be in school and we'd be having these amazing open conversations. People wouldn't be getting triggered. People wouldn't be getting, like, super defensive and stuff. And it was just really great conversation where we'd have, like, someone who was a trans man sharing their experience and sharing what it's like being a trans person, and, you know, people who are changing their pronouns and stuff, and, you know, learning what that meant to them and hearing their passion, and also hearing and seeing their pain that they've had to go through. and then going out into like the real world and using quotations and, you know, hearing people being like, you know, screw pronouns or whatever, like what's wrong with your natural body, and being like, oh, there's such a huge disconnect from like this space that I'm in at school and like a lot of people. And so it was just one day I was like, I want to have a podcast where people are just sharing their stories from all areas. So it's not just LGBTQ, it's anybody and everybody sharing their story, sharing their pain, sharing the things that they've gone through, sharing the things that they're proud of, and trying to, I guess, kind of show that we all have our own story, but we are all connected and we all can resonate with one another in one way or another. And if you can't necessarily resonate, at least maybe you can have some compassion and empathy for something that somebody else has gone through. And even if someone's experience is totally different than yours, I still find that like I can still relate in one way or another with maybe an emotion. You know, you felt sad because of this. Well, I've felt sad before, even though it's not the same experience. We can all resonate with feelings and pain and discomfort and pride and joy and happiness. So I think it was just kind of the idea that like, I want there to be less of a gap between the misunderstandings and the, assumptions made about people that you don't know, and then the people and their story and what they've had to go through. I kind of wanted to like create some kind of bridge if I possibly could, which I don't know if it'll ever happen that way, but that was kind of the goal, was like, if you are willing to openly share about your story, there's somebody else out there who can resonate and maybe is going through the same thing or has, that you can then kind of create community or at least not feel like you're alone.
You know, I think that's honestly where it actually begins. You know, we all resonate with stories, and that's really what connects us all. And thank you for creating a platform or a forum for people to share their story, their journey. And maybe, and as you said, if even one person gets value out of it because they hear a story that sounds like their own. And, you know, more often than not, I think it really boils down to having hope. When you hear somebody that goes through the storm of all these realizations of whatever they're going through, and they get through on the other side, and they can say to whoever's listening to that story, like, don't worry, like, keep going. Like, we know it's the icky middle. It's always messy in the middle. But if you keep walking one step at a time, you will get through it and you will be okay on the other side. So thank you for providing that forum for that. I just want to circle back to something that you had said about spirituality. I think when you and I both met, we were kindred spirits. And I probably didn't realize it at that point in time that you were also at the beginning of your journey. And you know, those who know me know that I am like your verifiable crystal girl. I mean, I like patchouli and essential oils and crystals and all the woo. Give me all the woo. But do you mind just talking a little bit about what that journey has been like, and even how you might even use it today in guiding you in like even the decision to, yes, go ahead and take this particular course or even start your podcast? Like, how are you using, you know, your spirituality to kind of guide you now, as opposed to just like ad hoc, which I think a lot of us are, or maybe at one point in time we're doing.
Yeah, it's funny. I, on a regular basis, tell myself that like, I need to tap in more, like I need to be more in tune, tap in, be listening more, be more aware. And then at the same time, it's like, but like, how much more can you keep going sometimes, right? Like sometimes you're just going about your day and it's like, it's so easy to think that you're not doing enough. And so as you said that, I was like, actually, I wish that I did that more. I wish that I was listening to myself more and, you know, being more in tune with my instincts and stuff like that. But that I've always kind of been in that space, and I struggle because I feel like I saw like family members that had passed and things like that when I was a kid. Like, I swear I remembered seeing beings in my house and I got so terrified. And that is something that I think the fear has taken over, and that's just cut off. Like, that's nope. That's too scary. So that's kind of like always been something that's kind of been there. Like, what is that?
You know, you can turn that back on, right?
But I think, oh yeah. And okay. I've been working on it. I've been working on it. It's hard to get rid of that fear sometimes.
I don't want to see.
Takes yeah. over. I know. Yeah. I've been working on that. But I think what really spurred it a lot was actually in high school. I was in our salon program. So I was learning to cut and color hair in high school. And my salon teacher invited in one of my friend's parents. And she said, we're going to do a Reiki afternoon. So we're not going to do salon stuff. We're going to come in. And this is about like mental health. This is about taking care of yourself and making sure that, you know, while you're doing your workday, that you can still, you know, have ways to heal and release and work through any blockages,
energy,
pain.
Especially as a hairstylist, who are in people's yeah. energy, like literally in their energy. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Totally. And at that time, I didn't know what Reiki was. And she was our Reiki master. And she came in and she was like talking to us about energy and showing us like our different auric fields and talking about the different meridians and chakras and like all these different things. That was like, that was new language to me. But it like, the second she started talking, it was like this like moment of like, oh my gosh, this is me. This makes sense. Yep. This is like knowledge that I knew. Like, it's just, you have that resonance. It's just, yep. you just know it. Yeah. And it was like, since then it was like, I need to know more. I need to dive into this more. And so I did. And so I started kind of learning from her a little bit. I went to some of her drumming circles and started doing like meditation and, like guided journeying in drumming circles and stuff. And was like diving in deep and yep. easily,
you
like
spend
just
hours
going
doing
on
it.
These journeys. Yeah. 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 And going to these crazy, crazy places and like, just, yeah, it all just felt normal. It felt natural, you know? And so it just, that kind of spurred all of that. And then it's just been kind of like continuing along with healing the trauma, understanding what my different kind of wounds are and different stories around it. And then, you know, really learning what like the intuition is, really learning to listen to the gut instincts, starting to connect with, you know, ancestors and kind of understanding ancestral lines and different, you know, animal healing and plant healing and like all those oh, types man. Of things. And it's brought me to, yeah. And it's brought me to different types of plant medicine. So I mean, I speak pretty openly about this. I do psilocybin every once in a while, and I let myself go on a journey and I let myself heal. I let myself go into trauma. And I use plant medicine such as psilocybin to help take down the barriers and guide me in a way that's, yeah, taking almost myself and my ego out of it a little bit. And meditation and yoga. And yeah, there's been points in my life where I was probably at my lowest and I would meditate for an hour a day and I would just let myself be in the crap. And I think all of that still continues to guide me all the time. Like, I don't make a decision without stopping and being like, how does that feel in my body? Like, and I think I've always done that. It's never been like a logical, like, well, with this science or this thing, like I'm not super analytical in that way, but it's more like someone asks me what I want to do. And I think about it and I'll like say, I want to do this. And then I'll see how it feels in my body. If it's like, oh, that doesn't feel right. Okay. We're going to do this one instead. And that's just how I do things. Everything's with kind of instinct. It's with my gut.
So actually, yeah, if you heart. Think about it, that is, if really using it in your day to day, I've never been one of those people. I'm very, for the longest time anyways, I was very, very masculine energy. Very, I got to think it through. I got to plan it. I got to like really lay it out. And it's only recently, and this is how I have begun, because, you know, we talk about loving our body, and I love my body, or at least the old me loved my body partially. I loved my body when she was skinny. I loved my body when she was whatever. And it's really only in, I would say, the last 6 months that I have shifted my perspective to love my body in a different way. So of course I loved my body for the four babies that she gave me. Of course I love my body because she's healthy, but there was still that resistance. And I think when it shifted for me is when I realized that my body is actually speaking to me all the time. She is talking to me all the time. If I can quiet down everything else that's going on around me and listen to what she is saying. And so that technique that you're talking about is absolutely something that I do now where it's like, okay, how does that feel? Do I feel it in my heart center or do I feel it in my gut? Is it making, what is this feeling that it's giving me? And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Right. So my biggest challenge is that I'm a real mental dweller. And I'm really trying to learn how to connect the three of those things. So that's how I've managed to shift the perspective on how to genuinely love and appreciate my body, aside from the obvious things, like I said, of in terms of health and kids and stuff like that, but because it's a tool and it's a guide if we learn how to read the language of our body. But there was something else that you were saying about utilizing spirituality and all the different paths and realizing and understanding that you kind of got to peel back the layers of the trauma in order to like elevate. And tell me if this resonates with you. So you're trucking along and let's say you just finished your Reiki course and you can feel the energy, you can feel it vibing in your feet and your hands, like literally all around you. But then you might hit a wall. And actually not might, you will hit a wall.
Yeah, you will.
And you're like, I know for me, I also took a Reiki course during COVID and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm broken. I don't feel it anymore. Right. And I think I finally realized like, no, you haven't hit a wall. It's time to peel back another layer. So can you talk a little bit about that understanding and realization that like, it's so progressive. It's like, you gotta, and I know that learning is like that, but it really is so grossly progressive in a spiritual sense, because it's not linear and there's lots of rewarding moments, but there's also lots of extremely frustrating moments because it doesn't make logical sense at all. And if anything, it makes zero logical sense. Do you want to share a little bit about that journey and how you navigated that?
Yeah. I'm right now in a time of discomfort right now. I'm in a transition. I am in where there's a new layer being peeled back. So I've been honestly struggling to do anything. It feels like that's just what it feels like. It's probably not actually true from the outside, but from how I feel on the inside, like doing my podcast has been hard. Meditation has been one thing, but like doing the things that I was doing feels really, really hard right now. And I literally feel like I've been like walking into a wall over and over and over and then wondering why the wall's not moving. And that's where I've been right now. So like I'm in that right now. And honestly, a huge for me, what I feel stops me is every single time it's myself. And I think that's the case for a lot of people. And it's also a struggle that I have of feeling grounded in our society that we've created and the science and the, you know, the logical things, while also trying really hard to believe that the spiritual stuff is real, if that makes sense.
I think if we ask for it, it shows us signs on a daily basis. And I think that's the habit. Yeah.
And it does. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's where, when it comes to myself and like me doing Reiki and the same thing where like, you're like, I don't feel it anymore. And it's those feelings that it's hard to trust and surrender, which literally the other day I wrote surrender on my hand and I would like surrender tattooed on me because that's a word I've been using over and over and over and over, is like trust and surrender. Because, you know, when you come up to those moments where you are doubting or like, you know, this happens sometimes for me where I'm in a setting with people who don't believe in that stuff. And it feels like it knocks you down a notch a little bit, but then, you know, you have to, like, it's rebuilding that and it's having that, it's the faith, it's the trust, it's the surrender that is there and you know it, and that, you know, you feel these things and you know, you have this intuition. And like, it's been a process of that, of like the in and out of like being deep into my spiritual side and then being back into, I don't even know what to call it. I don't even want to call it the real world because that's not what it is, but you know, the opposite, I guess, of that.
The realm of relativity. that's where we are. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I do struggle with that a little bit, with being like, you're never always going to be in one place or the other, as much as I want to just be in the spiritual world and just stay there. But that's not the society that we're in. And that's not how we live. Like this.
I think it's part of the experience, though, and that's the whole point. And I think it depends on the perspective that you're coming at it from. When I say that it really depends on the perspective that you're coming at it from in terms of like your faith and your spirituality, I think because you talked about the challenge in terms of like believing something you can't see. You can't see it. And I remember when I started on this journey, I would say to a friend, I'm like, I want God to talk to me in this way that like there's these bells and these whistles and these signs that say like, go this way and all this other kind of stuff. And and I realized like what I was looking for back there actually does happen. It's that you have to A, raise your vibration, because the vibration of the divine realm is like not down here, it's like way up here. So that's why you need the high vibe feeling so that you can actually see and hear the signs. But those things, and so that's why I said to you, I'm like, well, you just got to ask. Because I always find that on the days when I feel like I really need something, I can put it in my journal. I can ask, like, show me, give me a sign, something, and I will see it like in an hour. It will answer my question.
Right.
So I think that's the only point that I wanted to make, you know, for anybody who is having a faith crisis and doesn't feel like the divine is listening. The divine is talking to us all the time, to every single one of us. It's whether or not A, our vibe is high enough, and B, are we open to what the divine is actually telling us? Because sometimes it's things we don't want to hear.
Totally. Yeah. Are you listening? Yeah,
absolutely. Totally.
And that I find in the times when I'm feeling most disconnected, the first thing I typically do is like go into my little meditation room and I just sit there. And sometimes I have a nap and sometimes it's like a meditation, and you know, it just depends. But yeah, if you are open to it and paying attention, you know, you get numbers as signs, you'll meet somebody, you know, you'll ask. Like, this just happened to my good friend, actually. She was like, I think I want to start like sharing my salon space with somebody. She just has like a studio salon. It's just one chair and it's just perfect for one person. And she's like, I think I'm only here like half the time. I'm making more than enough for myself. I'm happy with it, but I'm happy to share this with somebody. And next thing she knew, someone contacted her and was like, hey, would you be open to sharing your salon? Because where I'm at, I'm not happy.
Happens.
And she was like, hello.
And that's how easily it
and
happens.
And if you're ready for it, it'll show up. Exactly. And it can be so easy.
Absolutely. And I think that the other part of this is that we have to understand, and this was a tricky one for me to learn. It's easy to have gratitude for the things that feel good. But how do we recognize and still equally have gratitude for the things that we don't enjoy? But there's something juicy in there as well. Because there have been days when I'm journaling, I'm bawling all over my journal. And I'm you know, in it. Like you, I am also in a spiritual storm at this exact moment in time.
Of course. Yeah,
it always feels like it, right? And you know, some days are amazing. Some days are fabulous. And today is one of those days. And then some days it's like, I just feel like not. I just feel like being in my feels. And so those are the days that I will write, like, just give me a little something that can give me that little pickup. For you, how do you feel that you are different from a year ago at this moment in time? Spiritually, physically, emotionally, like all the ways. But I'm curious mostly like in terms of your spiritual evolution.
Right. That's interesting. At this moment in time, I've been putting a huge, huge focus on my physical health. Because I think that will feed into my spiritual side. And when I say that, it's like for as long as I can remember, have had like chronic fatigue. So no matter how much sleep I get, no matter how rested I am, how good I've been eating, it's like almost always my eyelids are so heavy and I could go to sleep at any time. And it's a struggle. Like every blink is heavy eyes. And I've had that for as long as I can remember. So right now I've been putting this huge focus on super clean eating. I've been going to the gym really regularly and like trying to really figure out, like, I've been getting better sleep, tracking my sleep and seeing what's working, what's not, not eating after a certain time. I've been cutting out sugar and trying to cut a sugar addiction. So my focus right now has been very focused on physical, which is where a lot of the other stuff has been taken a back burner, because I've been so focused on this that I don't feel like I even have energy for anything else. But when it comes to the spiritual side of that, I was like, there it is. I have been way more connected to different like guides, ancestors, lineages, starseed family, that kind of thing than I ever have been. And that's been a journey I've been kind of diving into pretty deeply for the last year. I've had my first like Akashic record reading last year, and this lady, she's amazing. She's in Red Deer. Her name's Lisa. It was one of those coincidence quotations things where I had contacted her before this festival saying, I want this reading. And it got lost in the ether of the internet, and the form didn't go through. She didn't get it. And so I was like, whatever. She didn't reply to me. It's fine. I'll see her at the festival and I'll see if there's a space. And so I go to her booth and I'm like looking at her book that she has like a wait list. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So there's a wait list. I don't know if I'd get it. And literally as I looked up and turned, she was walking towards me and she's like, oh, hey, how are you? I've never met her before. And so we're just kind of introducing. And she looks at the tattoo on my head and she goes, oh my gosh. And she says, like, this is this type of people from this long ago in this lineage. And that's what your tattoo is. And I was like, what are you talking about? I've never heard of this. I don't know what this is.
I just like the tattoo.
And I was like, I was like, I kind of told her the whole thing. I was like, I did try to reach out beforehand and it just didn't work out. But, you know, I didn't know if you had time or not. And she was like, I literally like 5 minutes ago had someone cancel. And she said, I was just going to leave that spot open. I wasn't going to fill it. I was just going to take an hour break and go get like food or something, or like have an hour to myself. And she was like, but I think that's your spot. Like that spot's for you. And that was just one of those moments. And so having that reading with her, and she kind of connected me to some things that now as I've been diving into more, it's like finding a piece of myself that I didn't know I was missing. And just gaining more knowledge about myself and kind of like where I've come from and where my soul has come from and the different lines and lineages and lifetimes that it's kind of lived. And that's kind of what I've been diving into. And I think that has given me a lot of strength that I didn't have before, or that I didn't know that I had or wasn't connected to at that time. So that's kind of where my mind went when you asked me that, is like, there's some new lines and kind of guides that are with me now that are trying to guide me and show me my past, that has been giving me some new knowledge and strength that's really exciting and kind of terrifying. And of course, with that new knowledge, it means you have to show up more. So, yeah, but that's
definitely
really cool.
I think the challenge is the change in how you show up. Not the challenge, sorry.
Right.
It's for me, anyways, that's been one of the biggest changes for me, is how I show up. And it's been interesting because, do you feel sometimes like, actually, I know you do because you said it, right? Like you're doing all these things, right? They're meditating, breath work, yoga, chakra cleansing, Reiki, like just the list goes on. Yeah. Like I tell people, I'm like, I could literally spend 4 hours a day on self-care. I could easily.
Oh, I could do all day
so
long.
Could I.
Oh
so
my
could
gosh.
I had said to Dawn Taylor, actually at one point, I'm like, my morning routine is ridiculous right now because it's like, I can spend hours on it, hours, and never get bored of like doing stuff for myself. And for those of you who might not understand what I'm talking about, I'm not, okay, yes, I like pedis and manis and massages and things like that, but I'm talking about, you know, that stuff that keeps you so grounded and so centered. You know, some people just call it prayer. Yes, that's part of it. But for me, it's like yoga, breath work, meditation, journaling. Like those things are like foundational and fundamental to my mental health. And every single time I move away from it, Every time. I become very chaotic, and it's almost like I can't connect with the divine at all if I'm not keeping yes. myself centered. And that doesn't mean I do all of those things every single day, but it means that I have such a routine that is paramount and tantamount to like making sure that that connection is always there. So I was curious that for you, you know, because this is, you know, my thought with having this conversation with you today was really around self-care, loving our bodies, like, you know, talking and dealing with a little bit of trauma and things like that. But how did you put together your self-care routine, and what does it look like today? Self-care, and even your morning routine.
Yeah. I mean, right now it's like every day we're going to the gym first thing in the morning. We're there at like 6 a.m. kind of thing. And that's been my focus. And that has been feeding into the self-care for honestly, since I was probably like 7, I have struggled with my body image, my thoughts about my body. And I would say I've always been somewhat on the heavier side, overweight. I mean, I have a more larger build, I guess. And my whole family is like this. And it's always been like a moment of like some shame, embarrassment, not loving my body and having negative self-talk, and that for quite a long time. And my weight has always gone up and down and up and down and up and down all the time. And it's just based on different focuses and not having good habits. And so with trying to also figure out chronic fatigue and going to the gym now has been a huge focus. And that's become part of my self-care is going to the gym. And it's no longer, I used to go to the gym because I wanted to lose weight, to learn to love myself. And now I'm going to the gym because I already do. And because I want to help this machine work better. And that's been kind of a cool shift that way. And so then my routine is a lot of that. And then like getting home and okay, what do I need? Do I need to eat something? Do I need to go have some time by myself? Part of my, honestly, this is a huge thing that's been part of my kind of routine for a long time is like, what do I want to wear today to show up how I feel, or like show up how I can feel my best? So it's like making sure that the clothes I'm putting on is going to, one, help me feel sexy. I'm going to feel comfortable because comfort is so important to me. And it's going to make me feel like my best version of myself. So part of my self-care is literally just what clothes am I putting on today that's going to make me feel my best. Yeah. And then do I need to go meditate? Do I need to go outside? Do I need to go for a walk even after I've been to the gym? Like, what do I kind of need? Usually it's fairly similar every day because the gym takes up a good amount of our time. But yeah, it feels really good to be fueling my body in a way that I never have and been healing the relationship that I have. I've always used food as a crutch and as a coping mechanism for different emotions and trauma and stuff. And it's another family pattern that I see with all my families using food as, a way to help numb emotions. So that has been probably the main catalyst for this is, okay, let's not turn to sugar. Let's not turn to chips. I've always said that I wanted something crunchy, especially if I have a stressful day. I always want something crunchy to chew on because I always hold tension in my jaw, like things like that. That this healing the physical is healing a lot of emotional. It's starting to heal some trauma. It's helping me be more connected to myself. It's helping me be more connected with a lot of different areas in my life. And I've just been feeling more awake, which is really, really cool. Like I have rarely in my life felt awake. Like I barely know what that feels like. I only know what it feels like to be super sleep deprived because that's what I've always felt like is just as if I've been awake for 24 hours all the time. So this kind of healing stuff has been really, really cool. So my routine is mostly like, what is my body needing? What do I need to feel awake? Do I need a nap? Do I need to like go back to bed after I've been to the gym? Like sometimes I've been doing that. Like, what do you need to really, really get to this physical feeling of being awake and alive? And that's just been helping everything else feel better too.
I think that speaks to something really important that, you know, I've tried to do as well, which is, because, you know, if you think about it, we can be really regimented in how we approach these things, right? Like in terms of, okay, I got to go to the gym for like an hour and a half, and then I got to do this, and I got to do like, and I have lived my life. Okay. I live my life by a calendar a lot. So I won't pretend like I don't. I still presently do. But when it comes to self-care, because like I said, the list was ridiculously long because I was like, I got to do all these things every day. And so I was like, no, my self-care morning routine cannot take 4 hours at this time in my life. Maybe one day, but not yet. So I just started doing exactly what you're saying, which is just tuning in. Okay, body, what do you need today? What do you need in this moment to like set it off? Like, so this morning, for example, I started with yoga, but I wasn't vibing with yoga. So I just did a couple of yin things and I'm like, I really feel like I need a dance session. So
Yes.
So I turned on the music and I'm dancing around my off, and it was great. Cause then then I was vibing really high because, you know, my son Jackson had told me once, and I didn't know this, but that music is like one of those instant connectors to memories. And so all the songs that I was like jamming out in my office too was like taking me way back, like, you know, to good times and stuff. So I totally hear you on like just asking yourself what you need in that moment. Because figuring it out can take some time, right? Like that whole self-care piece, it can take some time. And it's really whatever you feel like you need to just keep you very grounded and centered for your day. Like no matter what comes, what rolls your way, it's going to be like water off a duck's back. In the past, you've spoken a little bit about how you've had some negative ideas and, you know, about yourself and even physically, and, you know, even talking about how to enjoy your own sexuality and your sexiness, right? Your inner goddess. Are you able to share about the journey of like getting to, and I don't know that the journey ever ends. I think that it's always, you peel back another layer, you heal another piece and you keep moving. Are you able to share a little bit about how you uncovered those pieces?
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting. I honestly remember at a very, very young age, like, I don't know, 5 years old, feeling sexy and having that identification of sexy, same how I feel now when I have a day that I'm like, heck yeah, I feel really, really good. I'm like in my goddess energy and I'm feeling really good. I remember feeling sexy at a young age. And there was a certain point where I turned that off, and that was kind of based off of being told that's inappropriate at that age, you know, like, and it was things like, I used to like to wear, like when I was little, I used to like to wear my shirts higher. I'd let my shirts come up, and it was like, I would kind of get made fun of for that. And it would always be kind of like a, like pull your shirt down or like pull your pants up or pull, do something to kind of cover yourself. And that then became an association with like, my body is not okay to show, and how I'm feeling is not okay. Like having that feeling of wearing my clothes like that, I felt sexy in that way. And then it was like shut down, and it was like, okay, sexy is bad. And that was associated together. So I've definitely gone through many phases where like, I don't even know if sexy existed at that time, you know, where it was just like, I was wearing like sweatpants and baggy t-shirts for quite a few years. And then it was like that kind of tapped back in again. Of course, that was also through puberty when it was like, okay, now we have more hormones and stuff. But yeah, I have always kind of dressed how I'm feeling. And that's always been a huge, I guess, shifter in my mood, is if I'm dressing the way that I feel sexy, maybe I wasn't feeling that way before I got dressed, but I'm going to feel like that after. But yeah, there was also always kind of a disconnect in my actual like sexual organs, I would say. where I always felt that there was something icky, that there was something wrong, that there was something that should not, yeah, that was just not okay with my body. And that was from like trauma and stuff like that, and being sexually abused, and then having young boys through elementary school and middle school and high school who would touch me without consent, and I would freeze and I would never stand up for myself. I can't think of one time that I ever stood up for myself after a male touched me inappropriately. And so that also associated many things with, you know, that my body is not mine and that it's for other people to take advantage of. So that's where there's kind of been a disconnect in that, like, feeling sexy and feeling into my body is trying to heal that.
Why is it, do you think, that, you know, when we sometimes women, some women, myself included in that category, you know, when we are faced with a sexually uncomfortable situation, that we just freeze and we don't, like, it is my body, right? Like, it's my space. It's my, it belongs to me. So when somebody's violating that space, why do you think that, you know, when you say that you have this freeze moment, and I can only think of a couple of times where it's just been like, I'm in an extremely uncomfortable situation and I can't even find the words to express to this person that I am extremely uncomfortable with you're literally in, like, you're just too close, like, back up and I don't like it. So why do you think, because I know there are some women that are like, no, I'll clock him kind of thing, right? Because he's in my space. But I think if we're honest, I think that there's maybe lots of women who have found themselves in that extremely uncomfortable, awkward position, and they don't know what to say. And then we start to talk ourselves out of, like, well, I'm being unreasonable. I'm being that, like, but no, like, your feeling, I say to people all the time, your feelings are a guide and they're there for a reason. So if you're feeling uncomfortable, why can't we vocalize that?
Right. Yeah. And that's something I think about and ponder on a regular basis, because I ask myself all the time, like, why am I not speaking up in this situation where I'm not feeling comfortable or where I'm not speaking my truth because you did something that upset me or something? And, you know, and also from different classes, podcasts, things like that, you get all these kind of different opinions. And I think in some ways it sometimes comes from your parental figures. You know, what did they show you is the way to approach those situations, I think, is one part of it. I think sometimes another part is, you know, if you had times when you were younger, when you did speak up for yourself and it was returned with anger or returned with some kind of consequence because you spoke your truth, then that becomes unsafe to do so.
Good point.
So, and then, yeah. And I think just sometimes that's just what happens, you know, when you're just so uncomfortable. And I very much tend to avoid conflict and avoid those uncomfortable situations. I struggle with, you know, I would much rather me deal with my own discomfort than make it a whole situation. And it's like, I would rather myself be in pain and rather myself be traumatized than feel the discomfort of that situation and speaking to that person. And so that's where there's multiple things of that I think can sometimes be all of it, right? That, you know, you've had all of those things happen where, you know, speaking your truth just becomes unsafe sometimes, or you haven't had the space to speak your truth, so you don't even know how. Or like I said, like a parental figure, like if you had a parent that never spoke up for themselves and you saw them be in discomfort, then you learn that that's what you do, is you just hold it in. So
I think
there's all those different facets. And I
think, you know, out of all those examples that you gave me, the two that probably resonate the most with me are, you know, my parents are super old school, and for them, it was like children are to be seen and not heard. So opinions were not invited. You just didn't. It wasn't something that you did. So, I mean, I think it's a learned skill. And I think I'm happy to say, like, for my kids, I always invited them to respectfully interject their opinion. That's the one piece. And then, of course, there's the fear of the response, right? Of when you speak your truth. And what I try to remind people of is, I'm not responsible for your response, and I'm not responsible for managing your emotions. What I am responsible for is delivering the truth in a kind and compassionate way, which is really usually about expressing what our boundaries are. And that's really what I'm talking about here, right? If somebody literally infringes on my physical boundary, I am well within my rights to say, excuse me, you're too close. So there's really no reason to be. And if you're offended by the fact that I'm telling you that you're in my personal space and it makes me uncomfortable, that's genuinely not a me problem. That's genuinely a you problem. So it's a work in progress, right? I mean, speaking truth is about so many more different things other than just when somebody is violating your physical and personal space. Do you feel like you have, like, what are some, I guess, some of the struggles that you still have in, you know, in that loving yourself piece? You know, we all have them. So what are maybe some of the ones that you want to share?
Yeah. You know, sometimes you just have that day when, you know, maybe you're hitting the first or second day of your period or something and you're feeling a little extra bloated and just gross. Those are sometimes where it's like, you know what, just don't even look at the mirror today. Like, don't even do it. Yeah, there's definitely some of those days, or literally like I actually have a sugar sensitivity. So if I have lots of processed sugars, it will make me sick. It makes me throat sore. And so sometimes just eating something that, you know, you maybe don't even want to, or that, I don't want to say shouldn't, because that's, I don't like saying shouldn't, but if you know that it's something that's not going to be for your best interest and you do it anyways, those are times when I find that can be difficult, and where you have those times of just like, nope, not having one of those days that I don't feel super great. And I would even say, even coming back to like speaking our truth and stuff, the more that I avoid doing that, the worse I feel about myself. And those patterns kind of, to me, keep going around. So the more that I try to practice saying what I need to, and sometimes that means writing it out, because I find it much easier to write it than I am speaking it. And I much prefer to take that time to think, write it down, get my words out. And so the more that I start to build that trust again with myself, and you realize that it's safe also to speak those things, it comes back also with loving yourself more. And I think those all go together.
They're so connected. There was a situation recently, and I'm so glad you brought that up, about how it really physically manifests in your body when we are not, like, there's the obvious things that we're talking about, right? Which is like eating clean and exercise and things like that. But how detrimental it really is when we don't honor truly what our core, what our soul needs. And there was this moment, and it was so bizarre. I was like sitting and I was talking to somebody, and I knew I had to say this thing. I knew I did. And my right leg started like this dull ache. Like, it just came out of nowhere. Now, some people would be like, no, it's your throat chakra, or your throat chakra. Like, if it's something you have to say, your throat is going to be like all, you know, scratchy and whatever. But in this case, it was this insane dull ache on the right side of my leg. So I grabbed my Louise Hay book and I looked it up. And so I looked up the leg, and it's like, and this pain associated with my leg. And here's what I determined. It was denoting that I had this insane fear of moving forward with something in my life. And what was linked to it is I needed to communicate it. I needed to say it. And as soon as I said it, gone. And I was like, oh my gosh, body, I love you. And the way, and that's what I mean when I say finding this genuine gratitude, because she's always speaking to me. As soon as I said it was like, you know, when we talk about like the weight literally being removed from our shoulders. So it wasn't even there. Yeah. It was like in my leg, this dull ache. As soon as I just said it and put this whole thing in motion, it was like, okay, gone, done. I was like, wow. This is absolutely amazing. I love the way that you speak to me. So any of you had moments like that where you're just like having this physical manifestation? And
all the time. I do truly believe, and I've seen evidence in myself and other people, that, you know, you get physical manifestations of a pain, disease, like anything like that, headaches, things like that, with all different kinds of stuff, whether, and sometimes this is another thing too, sometimes it's not yours. Sometimes it's ancestral trauma. And sometimes you hold on to stuff that's not yours, but it's still your responsibility to deal with it.
That's a tricky one for me. That's a real tricky one for me. Like that one actually, that one makes me mad. If I mean, like this is not even my shit that I'm gonna deal with. Yeah. And I think the question I would pose to you, because it's like, what if, like in my family as an example, and tell me if you can identify with this. The older folks in my family are real tight-lipped. There are very, very few stories that have like made their way into my consciousness in like, you know, my awake world, we'll say. So how do you even know if it's, because it's like, you know, it's like you're getting these signs and these messages, like you've got stuff that you need to heal. And you're like, but do I really, like, I can't think of anything in my experience that I need to heal. And then people will drop that bomb on you. Like, oh, it could be generational trauma. It could be ancestral. What? So how do you navigate that? Like, how do you even figure out if it's, I mean, today now I've figured out the ways, but how did you deal with that? Like when it's not your stuff to deal with.
Right. One example that I have is like, literally like when it just comes to sexual abuse, almost every single woman in my family has been sexually abused. And I don't always bring that down to circumstance. I sometimes see that literally as patterns happening over and over and over in every single person.
Yeah.
And so it's things like that. Like there's sometimes stuff like that, that you can literally see, or like, you know, that then you know that like, and it happened to me. It happened to other people in my family that I know, that, you know, you start to realize that like, okay, does that mean that we all have trouble speaking our truth? Does that mean that we all didn't say no, that we all didn't, you know, stand up for ourselves? Is that something that I have to heal with my throat chakra that is actually a pattern in my family? Sometimes you literally have things that you are afraid of, or you have a trauma that for the life of you, you're like, I did not live that. I know for a fact I did not live that. And you, then that's just like, you know, that's from something, that's from somebody else, that's from multiple lines, but it's still manifesting for in sure. your own body. And there's science out there that shows that it's how many generations, like 7 generations or something, they can see those types of things happening in. So, you know, I sometimes have looked at it too as like, when I was just talking about always being overweight and that my family has always struggled with that. You know, something that I heard someone say once that I've always been like, I've pondered here and there is like, did your family live somewhere where they starved? Mm. Did they live somewhere where they had no belongings? Mm. Do you have people in your family who hoard everything that they can get their hands on? And did you have people down the line that lost everything? You know, it's stuff like that, that, you know, sometimes we have these like predispositions that don't make sense.
Yeah.
That's when I see, like, if you had times in your life where your family literally had no food for who knows how long,
that's true.
Is that why you always have to keep eating? Is that why when you have a family dinner, you go into scarcity and you feel like you have to eat everything because you, in your genes, you know what it feels like to not eat for a really long time. And then that also can be why some people's bodies also store fat more than others. Right. There's so many things like that. And, you know, I don't know that for sure with my family. It's something that I am hoping to dive into and try to figure out some more stuff and do some genealogy things. But, you know, sometimes that can be a thing. And in that case, it's like, I know that I have a scarcity thing about food. Have I ever gone without food? Yeah. No. Right.
And that's what I mean when I say, where is that coming from? That's not my trauma. I've never starved a day in my life. Why am I holding all of this weight? I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
You know, that's such and thank you for highlighting that, because, you know, I know some of my maternal grandmother's stories, and I think that that's where my own personal ancestral trauma comes from, right? And you don't think about it in the moment, right? And it's like, so when people say, okay, you came here to like break this cycle in your family. And so for me, I'm like, well, how? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? Like, that's, and it's honestly, it seems heavy. Like when you think about like some of those heavier cycles that you're here to break, and especially when you're dealing in scenarios where, you know, in my family, there's a lot of girls, a lot. And I think that I'm like one of the few who are like into like more of a spiritual path versus like a religious path. And so like, how do you say to folks like, this is, you know, we got to heal this ancestral trauma and get people to understand. Like, I think people are starting to now really understand it, especially like when we look at our indigenous communities, right? That's where it's very, very real and in our face, because we can see the effects of ancestral trauma. But like, when it's not so obvious, how do you, cause I'm fixing to have a conversation with my family where I'm like, okay, I need to know the goods. I need to know like what we're dealing, like I know very peripherally, but I need your help in order to figure out like what exactly it is so I can heal it.
Yeah.
So I can let it go and I can do what I'm actually supposed to do in this life instead of feeling like I'm very stuck literally in somebody else's shit.
But maybe that is what you're supposed to do, right? Like, that's something that I struggle with too, is like, I have places I need to be and things I need to do. And sometimes all that is healing your family line. Sometimes that's all that you're here for. And, you know, maybe more, but like, you know, when sometimes when you have some deep seated stuff like that, that's causing all of these lines to not be their best versions of themselves necessarily, then, you know, sometimes that's all that it is to like learn from it and heal. And
I sure
as
hell hope not. I sure as hell hope that's not all I'm here for.
I hope there's more. But I mean, you know, I think in terms of like, you can't, well, obviously we know this, you can't force anybody to do anything. You can't overly do things for them. But I think in a lot of circumstances with like ancestral trauma healing, that when you do it and people see the changes in you, also, sometimes when you do it, there's an energetic shift in a family line. There's an energetic shift in everybody. So, you know, your sister, your cousin, your aunt, somebody might all of a sudden have this huge shift. They have no idea why, but it's because someone else did it.
And I think that the truth is that we can see, not even just in terms of ancestral trauma, I think in any trauma that you're healing, right? Like when you really pause and start to go into self and understand where those wounds lie, you naturally start to shift because your perspective has shifted. You're looking at scenarios very, very differently. And I recently had something come up. And when I think about me a year ago and how I would have responded to this type of scenario a year ago, and how I responded and how I showed up today, I feel like I can literally pat myself on the back, because it was like, sometimes I'll talk about my paternal grandmother, because she was this person who I absolutely revered as being like so full of grace and so full of elegance and like not a feather ruffled. And not to say that she wasn't feeling, because in this scenario, I was feeling, but I was approaching it from a very detached standpoint, like really looking at the scenario for what it is and not telling myself this big story about how it spoke to my worth and my value and my, all these like low vibe things, and how I could just see it for what it was. And I could just accept the situation for what it was without telling myself a story that continued to feed the ego and the victim mindset. So that's how I know that like, okay, things are shifting and they're changing. I'm still in the shit of the storm. Let's not get it twisted. But the change is how I respond when this stuff comes up. And I think that that's, for me, that's what I'm looking for on this journey, is how do I stay very calm in the middle of that storm when it's doing what it wants to do. Mm-hmm. If there was one thing that you would want to share as a piece of advice to others out there whose journey might be the same, or is it like, what's one thing that you would want to share today?
The first thing that came to mind is that your journey and your experience is your gift.
True.
Right? So it's like, in so many ways, and this isn't always the case, but in so many ways, I often feel like, how can you help somebody if you haven't lived it yourself? Right? There's a lot of times, and I think that's sometimes the case, not always, but I think quite often it really is most of the case. And so what you have to help heal the world with is often some of your biggest struggles, and some of the things you've had to overcome yourself. And it comes back to what you said before, like, how do you find gratitude for the things that aren't as pleasant? And I think that's in those moments, right? Where I would not speak the way that I do or have, I mean, yeah, with the trauma that I have lived through and the experiences that I've had, I would not be able to, yeah, speak the way that I do, be as connected as I am, be as introspective as I am, and want to be so into like personal development and wanting to be better for the greater good. Like all those things come back to the shit. Without all of that, I would not be the same person.
So, and I love that you said that. And I hope, and I love that your podcast does that, right? And that's really what the purpose of this podcast and even your podcast and all the podcasts that are out there. It's really about creating this environment and helping each other to understand, like, I'm not sharing my story or you're not sharing your story because like, I'm not trying to be judged. I'm not trying to have anything like that. But what I am trying to do is to help other folks understand that like we're all carrying something at any given moment in time. It doesn't matter how much I'm smiling. It doesn't matter how pleasant I am with you. We are all carrying something. And it's how do we still show up for each other? Not let that something like bring us down and think that we need to be like lowest common denominator because we're carrying stuff. Because the truth is everybody is. It's how are you showing up when you carry, right? Mm-hmm. So thank you for the reminder. And I think the last time we talked, you said that it was like the gift of showing up authentically. That's what you had said. It was the gift of being very authentic.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I have something else that kind of popped up too, is like, I think, and this is something that I would love to see. I still have a hard time with it too, but when you kind of said we're all holding something, there's always something going on. We all have something weighing on our shoulders. I think it is honestly so important to share that. And it's not about dumping it. It's not about like dropping your stuff on somebody, but I think so often we are carrying all of this baggage alone and keeping ourselves disconnected from one another, from the fear of judgment, from the shame, from embarrassment, from whatever. And it's keeping us one disconnected from ourselves. It's keeping us disconnected from each other. And then it's keeping us in, I think, these trauma patterns. And as hard as it can be, I do think it's important to share. No matter how ashamed you might be of something, no matter how much you think it should be a secret, I don't like those things, secrets to me, and like shame and holding on to stuff and withholding parts of yourself from people is like a lowish vibration. Sometimes the lowest, like the feelings of shame is like the lowest vibration you can feel. And as much as we can be so afraid of what that other person is going to say, nothing is more freeing than letting that go. Like it's such a weird thing that I see that like, and I do it myself, like I do it too, is that idea that this stuff I have to hold on to and take it to the grave with me. And then you're in pain in your body. You are afraid of people. You are it, like, there's so many icky feelings to stuff that we hide.
It really is so freeing.
Like, why are we hiding?
It is honestly so freeing. I've recently been going through the activity of just saying, I don't want to carry it, right? Like, and what I mean when I say carry it is like, I don't want to pretend that I'm not feeling this thing. And I'm real. I say that I'm very deliberate about making sure that I'm not dumping, right? And I think that part of that is also sharing with my partner and my people, like, because I don't want people to think, you know, energy is very real. You can obviously feel shifts in energy. And so for me, I'm very mindful of that. I know where my brain goes when I can feel a shift and somebody's not communicating with me. So I communicate with those that are close to me so that they know, like, I'm going through something right now. I don't know what it is, but when I know, I will share with you. And that sharing is really what brings us closer. And I think that in a lot of ways that the people that are receiving it, the people that are close to you, there's an honor within that. especially if you're somebody who does keep a lot. Because I know that people who hold a lot and don't share, when they share, I'm just like, I'm so honored that you would share that really vulnerable piece with, and I'm going to hold it. I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to spread it because you shared that with me. Right. And it takes a lot. You know how much it takes to be able to like be vulnerable and be open. So I think what Haley and I are trying to say is like, you know, go out into the world today and share a little bit of who you are with somebody, something that they don't know about you. Humanize yourself, because that's all that we have in common is the human experience. That's it. We're literally all on this journey together. We're all in this shitstorm together. So let's share the stories of the shitstorm together.
A beautiful shitstorm.
Yeah. In the messy middle. I do enjoy it. I really honestly do enjoy it. And like I said, every day in my journal, the first thing that I write is thank you for the light of the new day. Thank you for the experience, all the things that I love and all the things that I'm not so happy with you about sending to me. Bama, say thank you anyways. I really try to find gratitude for it each and every day. So my final question, just imagine, that's a game my kids and I used to play. Just imagine. You could have only one single superpower. What would it be?
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm going to use the same one that I use. This is our second time recording this. And the first time, I loved my answer. And I have actually thought about it since then. And like I said then, it's like my initial things are all more like ego. The ego comes in. Like, I want to be able to read minds. I want to be able to heal people. I want to be able to do all these cool things that make me like a superhero. But what my end answer was, and what it still is I would love to just have the power to like grow plants. And just made me think of the joke. You're like, hey, lady, you can already do that. But like, you know, go into a forest that was just cut down and just grow trees in like 10 seconds, you know, like go into a field and grow flowers, go somewhere where there's drought and all of a sudden have all these plants. Like that I think would be my favorite superpower, is just to be able to like literally build the earth kind of and create it is a gift. Life.
It really honestly is a gift. And I do remember you saying that last time. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it had to do with plants being like a green. I like the healing piece, but you know, because really if you can do that, and I think maybe the reason why you say that, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's something very gratifying about taking like literally a seed and loving it. And my kids used to laugh at me because when I grew my first garden, I was like, you should have seen me. I'd be like talking to my plants. I'm like, you can do it. I'm here. I'm rooting for you. Like, I love you. And that first garden, I grew the biggest zucchinis. And I think it's because I talked to those plants.
I swear that is a real thing. You know, you can go and talk complete crap to a plant and that plant's going to die. I think there's
science around it,
actually. And you can go love on a plant. You can like share your love and energy and put that intention, like, especially if you're watering it, you're like, I am just pouring all the love and life into you. Those plants are going to be amazing.
See the plants in my office. Like I said, I took Reiki as well. So I'll like go and wrap my hands around the pot and just send like some good vibes to it and just be like, and I'm grateful because I know why I have plants in my office. I have plants in my office because I love the energy that they bring, and they're sprightly. Like, none of my plants are droopy. They're like, they're awake. They're alive. They're cleaning the air for me. They're keeping me company. Like, I'm grateful. So you know what? That is a fantastic superpower. I'm going to take it. I'm going to accept it.
Yeah. Perfect.
Well, thank you so much for giving me your time again today. I really appreciate it. I think this one went a lot better. It feels better. We were really feeling the effects of the eclipse, both Haley and I. So at least I was for sure feeling the effects of the eclipse. I don't know what was going on with me, but I was not vibing it. So thank you.
Yeah.
So thank you again, Haley, for joining me today and sharing parts of your story. I'm extremely grateful again for having you here. And for my listeners, if you enjoyed today's content and conversation with Haley, please feel free to download, subscribe, follow this podcast on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And until next time, take care.